Welcome to the Oakland Church Podcast. You're about to hear another inspirational message from Senior Pastor Randy Bain. It's our prayer that this message encourages you and strengthens you. For more information and for other resources, visit us at oaklandonline.org.
Maranatha, he who testifies to these things, yes, I am coming quickly. Amen. Come, Lord Jesus. You know, I had such a confirmation this week as the revival was going at Asbury. It's about a week and a half old right now. I just looked at a picture of 10:30 last night. The streets of Wilmore are completely jammed with traffic. And if you go off to the college campus side, people are three and four deep, lined up for blocks, waiting to get into the Hughes Auditorium. So it's a pretty awesome experience, and it's hard for me to talk about. If I get choked up, I apologize. I just never know when that's going to happen, that I can't talk or can't get it out. But when the posts started coming out, or you know, Facebook messages and social media about the revival, everyone kept replying, "Come, Lord Jesus." I wasn't saying it. Other people were. I'm like, yes, amen. Come, Lord Jesus. And so not that we're bringing the revival, but I believe we're in step with what God is doing. So come, Lord Jesus. Our scripture this morning is from Revelation 21. This is the next to the last chapter in the Bible. And I'm going to read the first five verses, and you might keep it open and look through the whole section. Hear the word of God from Revelation 21, 1 to 5. "Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth. For the first heaven and the first earth passed away, and there was no longer any sea. And I saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, made ready as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, 'Behold, the tabernacle of God is among men, and he will dwell among them, and they shall be his people, and God himself will be among them. He will wipe away every tear from their eyes, and there will no longer be any death. There will no longer be any mourning or crying or pain. The first things have passed away.' And he who sits on the throne said, 'Behold, I am making all things new.' He said, 'Write, for these words are faithful and true.'" Shall we pray? Lord, thank you for your holy word. Thank you, Lord, for the promise of a new heaven and a new earth. Thank you for the new work, the reviving work that you do in us. Continue your work, I pray, this day, this morning, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. The memory verse I picked is verse 1. I mean, I actually am pretty enamored with verse 5 as well, but we'll do verse 1. Would you recite that with me? "Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth passed away, and there was no longer any sea." Revelation 21, 1. Well, talking about new beginnings, the word revival literally means that. Vive is kind of the mean for life, to come alive, and re is to do it again, so to bring back to life. It's really talking about new beginnings. And you know, I'm really blessed to be able to be at Asbury. When I knew I wasn't preaching last week, and it's like, wow, I wasn't a Christian in the 1970 revival that happened at Asbury. It was kind of a similar event. It lasted about a week or so, nonstop. It started at a chapel service. But I was impacted by the 1970 revival. I'll tell you a little bit later about that. But when we knew that we could go, and I knew Jeremy was preaching, so we just jumped in the car and drove. It's about a seven-hour drive, and we got there. Now, it's an interesting thing. Since then, I've been getting emails and announcements about an organized collegiate day of prayer. Have you seen that? Have you know about that? It turns out the fourth Thursday of February for the last 200 years has been designated as the Collegiate Day of Prayer. And of course, 200 years ago was the Second Great Awakening in America, and the colleges they were praying for would be those Ivy League schools, you know, Princeton, Harvard, and you know, Yale, and all those, you know, Northeastern schools. But now they're praying for thousands of campuses all over the United States. And I just wanted you to catch this the video. I have about a minute and a half introduction video to that. And it's so connected with everything that's happening. So give your eyes and attention to this.
50 years ago, something extraordinary happened on one college campus.
I thought I had seen everything, but today I saw something. that I have never seen before.
It started at 10 o'clock yesterday morning. It didn't end at 11 o'clock yesterday morning. It didn't end at 11 o'clock last night. In fact, as Jim and I took the air, it was still going on.
It all started when one student gave his testimony. That was followed by another, and the testimonies have been going ever since.
And as it spread, people began coming in from all around.
Something happened to me as a teenager where God moved in the inside of me and set me on this trajectory of following Him. This is what has happened to so many of us, and this is what we need to see happen in this generation of college students. Someone got on their face. I believe with all my heart that people prayed for me, and now I love Him at my age. It's the church's responsibility. God, would you show your mercy on him, on her, just the way you did with me? Because this is their only hope. We need him to change their hearts so that they can change the direction of our nation. We're asking you, please, join us. Join us for this day of prayer. Join us in praying for these young people. Believe that God can usher in something new through the power of our prayers.
Join us on February 23rd, live from Asbury University. Lord, do it again.
That is just so hilarious. It's hilarious. As I watch that, I'm thinking, wait a minute, you can't really, how are you going to do it live from Asbury University? They're having a revival there. You know, you can't even get in the youth auditorium. You know, so God showed up 2 weeks early to do his own thing, you know. Amen? Amen? Well, it turns out, actually, by Monday, they're going to stop having the revival in the youth auditorium. They're going to move it out to some other venues in town. And Francis Chan and the Collegiate Day of Prayer will be there. They will be broadcasting. I think you can get it on your phones or on your TVs or on your computers, so I would suggest anything possible to do to get plugged into that. But on the video, the earlier video, they were highlighting the 1970 revival. And that old guy that was talking, holding the Bible, that was Dennis Kinlaw. He's one of my heroes. He's one of the reasons I wanted to go to Asbury Seminary. I was at Cherry Run Camp meeting, and I heard this one guy was preaching, doing a great job, but I noticed this old codger that was sitting next to Darlene and I in the tabernacle, and he kept pulling out a little Bible, or a little book. It was about this big, and about, I don't know, it looked like a phone book, or like, you know, like a calendar. Well, here he'd open it, look at it, and put it back away. He kept doing that. Finally, when I got close enough to look, he was reading a Greek Bible. He was checking the speaker. As the speaker was pulling, oh, okay, put his, and then he preached the next day. And when he preached, it was like all heaven fell. I mean, the altars were like full and people were in the aisles trying to get to the altars at the camp. And so Dennis Kinlaw became one of my heroes, you know, like. But anyway, when the news people were interviewing him about the 1970 revival, they were saying, well, aren't you guys trying to do this? It's like, isn't this really just human manipulation? You were like trying to make this happen? And he said, yeah, we've been trying to make it happen since 1950. Because there was a revival in 1950, and we couldn't do it. God showed up. I mean, we've been trying for revival, amen? We can't bring revival. God decides it's time, and he shows up. And he has done that. He is doing that in our day, absolutely in our day. And I just celebrate what God is doing in our midst. And I just want to tell you, just there are so many things happening in our culture right now. I don't think it's a coincidence that the Chosen series is out. Right? I mean, you know, I've heard so much about it. I am so anti-trending. Okay? If you tell me I need to watch the Chosen series, guess what? I'm not going to watch it. I'm like, nah, I got other things to do. And so Darlene and I literally have not seen one Chosen series. Not at all. And I have had you guys, my staff, have hounded me. You need to watch this. It's so anointed. Well, after we got back from Asbury this week, I turned it on. I watched all seven episodes of the season one. Okay? Yeah. Ask my wife. You can't see it. I think my lip is bit. I'm biting my lower lip so I don't sob while we watch. It is such anointed, and there is such a presence of God. And literally, I'm like Darlene's sitting beside me, and I'm like biting my lips so I don't, you know, tears are coming down my face. I'm wiping my eyes. And then this collegiate day of prayer. And then Kelsey Grammer. I'm really not a big Kelsey Grammer fan, honestly. But I know Chuck Smith. I've met Chuck Smith. And I know all about the Jesus Revolution or whatever that movie's going to be called. That is going to be anointed, my friends. Why is this all happening? Because God has decided he is going to move in our midst. Amen? Amen. And he is doing that. Now, I've asked Arlene to come up and give a little bit of a testimony. You know, she's not a big pulpit speaker, so she wrote it down. So go ahead, grab your mic and come up here if you would. Chris Oldham. Chris, okay, thank you, Darlene. Darlene had the same testimony everybody she would tell about what happened at Asbury, the 8 hours that we were there. And Chris Oldham, who is now living down south, but from this church, went this week, and I think she sent a text to Linda, and Linda sent it to Darlene, and it's exactly what Darlene is going to say. It's the exact testimony. It's like crazy, so I'm just kind of amazed that two ladies, a week apart, go to the same event, come out with the same experience. Go for it.
Well, Asbury is a special place to us since we lived there 3 years, and when we heard about the revival, we could go Wednesday, I said to Randy, we should go there. And we didn't talk any more about it until Friday afternoon. Randy said, are you ready to go in the morning? So we packed up and left for Wilmore on early Saturday morning. We got there and went to Hughes Auditorium. And what an atmosphere of peace was there. It was a peace like I had never experienced before. All age groups were there, parents were there with small children. They were calm, there was no crying or upheaval. Kids were not disruptive. And the spirit was definitely in that place. All the songs that we sang were about Jesus. As we looked on the stage at a picture of Jesus that a student had painted as a testimony at that revival. People were praying. They were praying at the altar. They were turned around praying at their seats. They were being healed. People were hugging each other. They were giving testimonies. It was just an amazing sight. The whole auditorium took Holy Communion that evening, and we did it together. Across the front of the auditorium at the top of the wall was written, Holiness Unto the Lord. It truly was a holy place and a holy experience. People were coming and going as the place was filled to capacity. The aisles and the balconies were filled. There was standing room only. People were waiting on the steps outside to get in. And it definitely was all about Jesus.
Amen.
And an experience that I never will forget.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Darlene. There's so many, they were asking people not to live stream it from inside, but people where you can go online. I think there's a Portuguese feed is probably the biggest one. It was on for a long time. I recorded, I think it was like 11 seconds. Maybe, Kim, if you could play it twice, because it goes fast. This is the Saturday evening when it was packed. I mean, literally. I mean, they actually told us if you're a jumper in worship, you have to come off the balcony. You can't be up there. I guess they were worried about things collapsing. And there was so many people lined up, they actually had, there was a space, oh, I don't know, maybe 2-3 feet behind the seats in the balcony. That was filled with people. And they finally said, there can't be any standing in the balcony. You have to come down. They were worried about safety. But I mean, it was packed. I mean, the aisles were packed, the sides were packed, the back was packed. They were outside and trying to get in. And like I said, I think it's a good thing that Darlene and I got there when we did, because now you can't, it's hard to even get near the building. It's just people are lined up waiting to get in. But here's a short clip of the video.
Majesty, praise forever to the King.
It's one of my experiences where I actually have a better worship experience here. I'm just saying. I have a better worship experience here. I mean, the song, some of the songs we didn't know, there was really nothing planned, no screens, no words, no anything. So sometimes the worship leader would start into a new song and it would take like, I don't know, 30 seconds till everybody got on the same page, like, okay, this is what we're singing, and then they were singing. Then we'd sing that for 10 minutes or 15, and then we'd switch to a new song, which, you know, it kind of took you a few minutes to get started on it. But it was just awesome. The presence of God, the grace of God, it was awesome. How it got started, and I guess I'll share this and then get into the points of the message. How it got started on Wednesday, two Wednesdays ago, week and a half, it was Reverend Matt somebody, I forget his last name, was the chapel speaker. They have a 10 o'clock chapel service. It's required by all students to be there. And so he spoke about the grace of God, the love of God. And his message was, don't leave Asbury University without experiencing the love of God. Whatever you do in life, if you don't have not experienced the love of God, your life will not be fulfilled. And he kind of closed with that, and that was it. And then the band got up to sing. You can go on to Asbury University's chapel service. You can actually listen to the whole message. It was a good message. It wasn't, you know, wasn't Acts chapter 2, Peter and Pentecost message, but it was a good message. The worship team got up, they led in a song, and then the chapel feed just fades off. Well, I guess after they were done, he got back up and said, if anybody wants to stay and seek the Lord, you're welcome to do that. Well, you can see that everyone disbanded. Everyone left. They had to go to class. 20 people stayed behind. So the revival began with 20 people seeking the Lord at the seminary, or at the college. And then I heard a testimony. When we were there, two guys gave a testimony. One of the guys that stayed, and then another guy that left. He left and went to class, and then after class, he got a text from the guy that stayed that said, hey, you need to really come to the auditorium. He's like, well, it's noon. I think I'll go for lunch. So he went to lunch. He got to lunch, and there was such a big line at the lunch line. He thought, oh, forget that. I'll go to the auditorium. He went to the auditorium. There were 100 kids in there. And they just kept texting others and saying, you guys need to come and experience what's happening here. And one of the guys made a confession, got up and gave a testimony. Another person, and it just started. And then the worship started. And by the end of the day, the auditorium was packed. And then word gets out to the world, and it was trains, planes, and automobiles. People are like, we got to get there. We want to be a part of this. We don't want to miss this, like, you know, in the 1970s. And so it just has been going ever since. And now you can't get into Wilmore. I mean, the traffic is backed up. You can't get into town. So God is really moving, and I'm so glad that we could bring a little bit of that back to you. But God is moving in our lives as well. New beginnings, you don't really get a lot of them, you know? Even in Scripture, you don't find a lot of new beginnings, but the Scripture is full of new beginnings. Genesis chapter 1 talks about the beginning. In the beginning, it says, God created the heavens and the earth, and it said the water was dark and formless and chaotic, and the Holy Spirit was moving over the surface of the water. And God brought light, God brought order, and God brought a new beginning to the world. Of course, you know in Genesis 6 through 9, what happened? The flood. God started over with Noah. And he said to Noah and his family, be fruitful and multiply. And there was another new beginning. I mean, we can go right through in Exodus chapter 12. It's where the Passover meal, the Passover event became the beginning of months, the beginning of a year. It was a new beginning for the Israelites. They became a nation, a million plus strong. And of course, you can follow along with Jesus. I mean, you go from Abraham to David to Jesus. It's all been new. It's so new that people changed their names, right? Simon became Peter. Abram became Abraham. You know, I mean, Jacob became Israel. I mean, they actually changed names when they had new beginnings. And in Acts chapter 2, when the Holy Spirit was poured out, we had the birthday of the church. And we have the new beginning that we have been living ever since. We are in these days. And of course, the scripture that I read is probably the ultimate of new beginnings. This is where Jesus will return, and he will make a new heaven and a new earth. And he will be the light, the temple, the all in all of that new beginning. It says in Revelation 21:4, I will wipe away every tear from their eyes, and there will be no longer any death, no longer any mourning or crying or pain, for the first things have passed away. Now, the point that we need to get first, though, you don't have to wait till the second coming of Jesus to have a new beginning in your life. Amen? Amen? We can have a new beginning today. New beginnings in this life. Remember what Jesus said to Nicodemus? Truly, truly, I say to you, unless you are born again, you cannot see the kingdom of heaven. He said in verses 7 and 8, John 3, 7 and 8, you must be born again. You must be born again. What is he trying to describe when he says to be born again? Nicodemus says, I don't get it. Am I supposed to go back in my mother's womb? Jesus is saying, no, you need to have a spiritual new beginning. You need to be born of the Spirit. You must be born again. When we accept Jesus Christ, when we confess our sin, confess him as Lord, our lives are changed. Amen? We are new in Christ. That is his promise. That is his promise. He gives us his Holy Spirit so that we can live the Christian life. When we were praying, we were there Saturday afternoon, that one of the speakers, it was kind of funny, the speaker got up and goes, this isn't about any big name speaker. There's no screens, there's no popular band. They were rotating students in every 2 hours to play in the band. You didn't know who was doing what. And this guy said, you don't even know who I am. And I didn't. And I looked over at one of the college students. I said, who is that guy? They go, we don't know. We don't even know who he is. He wouldn't even give us his name. I found out later his name's David. I mean, that's all I know about the guy. And he said, we're going to do a time of prayer. He said, we're going to pray for pastors. And they said, all the pastors stand up. And I had these three college students around me and lay their hands on me to pray. And the word, I don't know what they were praying, but I heard the word strength and wisdom, anointing and power or presence. And I was like, okay, Lord, I don't want to forget this, but I can't write it down because they're praying for me. So I remember the word swap, S-W-A-P, strength, wisdom, anointing, and power or presence. And I accepted that. I take that, Lord. I receive that. And that's what it's all about. It's a swap, isn't it? New life is a swap. Lord, I give you my brokenness. I give you my sin. I give you all my aspirations, my hopes and dreams. Here they are. They're yours. And in return, give me you. Yeah. Right? That's what he does. He gives us himself. He gives us the love of God. I would say the same thing to you this morning. Do not leave this morning without experiencing the grace of God. Do not leave this morning without experiencing the love of God in your life. 2 Corinthians 5:17 says, if anyone is in Christ, they're a new creation. The old is gone, the new has come. Have you experienced the new? Are you new in Christ? And you've experienced his presence, his grace, his love? Don't leave this building this morning unless you have. He says, I will make all things new. If you confess and you repent and turn to him, you will have a fresh start. You can turn. You can be accepted. God will move, and he will act in your behalf. Francis Chan said when he was a teenager, somebody was praying for him, and he had a new start. It had changed the direction of his life, and today he loves Jesus with all of his heart. You know, he is sold out 100%. You know, I celebrate the 1970 revival that happened at Asbury because I know a lot of people in my class, my high school class, were saved in the early 70s. Here in Johnstown in the 70s, there was early 70s were the Jesus people. There was a revival happening in our midst. Oakland was a big part of that because Dick Burns was a pastor at the time, and he was willing to accept the hippies into his church. You know, he was an open place for all those. You know, if you watch the Chuck Smith movie, and you'll see we were willing to let them come, and he was open to them. Myself, I know two guys that were there because they had an impact in my life. Eddie Kane, I think I shared this a couple weeks ago. He was one of those weekend witness teams that went out from Asbury. He was there in 1970. I probably heard him preach in maybe late 1972, maybe in the spring 1972. It was the first time I ever heard a Protestant preacher preach the gospel, give an altar call. He was preaching about the second coming. Maybe he was using this scripture. I'm not sure. But we were talking about the return of Christ at the time, and I remember hearing Eddie Kane, but he was at that 1970 revival at Asbury. And then when Darlene and I were called to go into the ministry, we had already pastored part-time, and we were now getting ready to move to seminary. with no job, two kids, and huge seminary expense, and we were going to move to Asbury. And we went to Cherry Run Camp Meeting, and there, Reverend Jim Hosey, who was at the 1970 revival at Asbury. I actually have the book on the revival called One Divine Moment. And one of the pictures in there, I see a picture of Jim Hosey holding his hand up in worship. I'm like, wow, that's pretty cool. I know that guy. And he preached and ministered to us, Darlene and I, at an altar at Cherry Run Camp. So, I celebrate. I'm a part of that. And I believe we are a part of what God is doing today. You don't have to wait for the second coming to have a new beginning. Somebody here needs a new beginning, and God is here to give it to you this morning. Second part of that is we will have new bodies in eternity. Notice it says in Revelation 21:4, no pain, no suffering, no death, no mourning. The former things have passed away. In heaven, we will be given new bodies. We don't know quite what we'll look like. We know we will have a spiritual body. When Jesus, I always emphasize how Jesus, when he came up from the grave on Easter, he came through the grave. He didn't just come back to life. He went through the grave and came out the other side in a supernatural, a spiritual body. That's the body we will have. We will have a body like that. 1 Corinthians 15 describes that. It actually describes the rapture of the church. When Jesus comes back and the dead in Christ will rise and be translated, and we who are alive will be translated. It says there in 1 Corinthians 15:42, and so it is with the resurrection of the dead. What is sown is perishable, but what is raised is imperishable. It is sown in dishonor, raised in glory. Sown in weakness, raised in power. Sown a natural body will be raised a spiritual body. So we're going to have a spiritual body. Now, we don't quite know what that's going to look like. I believe we'll be recognizable, because Jesus was kind of recognizable, you know, in the resurrection. I mean, they mistook him several times, but somehow there was something about him. And so I believe that all the good traits that you have will be recognizable. All the bad ones will be covered over, you know, isn't that good? And we'll have a spiritual and immortal body that will last for all eternity. That day is coming. And our transformation will be complete. I believe in this life, aren't we trying to grow into the image of Jesus? I know I am. And sometimes I wonder, I read in Oswald Chambers, he said, you should take an evaluation every now and then to say, am I more holy, more loving? Am I more like Christ today than I was a year ago? And sometimes I'm a little scared to check on that. And sometimes I wonder if I'm getting more holy or if I'm getting more old and crotchety. You know, am I being? But our transformation will be complete. In 2 Corinthians 3:18 says, but we all with unveiled face are beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord. We are being transformed into the same image from glory to glory, just as from the Lord, the Spirit. So hopefully our transformation will be complete. Amen? We will be like Jesus in that day. Amen? It says in 1 John 3:2, it says it isn't quite sure what we will be, but we know we will be like him when we see him as he is. So the moment I see Jesus, and I'm hoping I'm alive and I'll be raptured, the moment I see him, I will be like him. All right? And if you don't like me now, you will like me then, because I will have a glorified personality. Amen? You know, I won't have all these flaws, you know, and you can like, and I will like you even better. Amen? Amen? So, I mean, God will do a work of grace in us that even the people that rub you, isn't that sad that Christians rub us? You don't have any Christians that rub you the wrong way, do you? Well, in heaven, we will have glorified personalities, and they'll be able to handle you better, you know, and we'll be able to handle them. We'll love each other as Christ intended. But there is a day coming when our transformation will be complete. And then finally, there will be a new heaven and a new earth. I like that memory verse. It says, there was a new heaven, a new earth. The first heaven and earth passed away, and there was no longer any sea. I want to grab that phrase, no longer any sea. What does that mean? Well, it's interesting. In the early temple, they built what they called a molten sea, or a brazen sea. And if you read the Jewish commentaries, the Midrash, it describes that as this sea represents the world. And so there was this kind of like a big pond or a big pool where the priests would wash themselves. But they had this in the temple area Why do you think they had that in the temple area? Because that same image is in heaven at the temple area. It's in, and you can read that in First Kings, I think, let's see, make sure. 1 Kings 7 and 2 Chronicles 4 describes that. But in the book of Revelation, the sea is mentioned three times. In chapter 4, verse 6, it says, before the throne there was something like a sea of glass, like crystal at the center and around the throne. Why would there be a sea of glass there? Well, what does a sea of glass mean? A sea of glass means it was perfectly calm. And sea represents this molten sea, as the Midrash says, it represented the world. Sea has always represented the fear, rebellion, evil, darkness, chaos. I mean, think about it. Jonah, what happened to him? He got thrown into the storm of the sea, right? Or think about the disciples. Every time they tried to cross the Sea of Galilee, the storm would come up. And they thought they were going to die, right? They were always afraid. Either Jesus was sleeping in the back or he was walking on the water. But, and then he would calm the sea. So it says when we get to heaven, there is a sea of glass. So the rebellion has been calmed. There is no rebellion. But then if you go on to chapter 15, it says, and I saw something like a sea of glass mixed with fire. What does the fire represent? I believe the fire represents judgment. Not only has rebellion been calmed, but now rebellion is being judged. If you read that Revelation 15 passage, it talks about the victory of the Christians. Those who are followers of Jesus have been victorious over the rebellion. And then finally, in this verse, 21:8, it says, if you skip down to 21:8, here we talked about there is no more sea. In 21:8 says, the cowardly, unbelieving, and abominable, murderers, immoral people, sorcerers, idolaters, and liars will not be there. So in heaven, there will be no more sin, no more rebellion, no more temptation. Think about the things that trip you up in life. Number one, our own physical bodies. I mean, we are tempted ourselves, or other people in the world tempt us, or the evil work of Satan is tempting us. But in heaven, there will be no sin, no rebellion, no temptation. Only the presence of God, and he will be our God. So we look forward to that day when there is a new heaven and a new earth. What about for us today? I believe the presence of God, his Holy Spirit, is a foretaste of heaven. As I said earlier, you don't have to wait till the second coming to experience a new beginning. You don't have to wait for the second coming to experience the grace of God. Romans 5:5 says that hope does not disappoint us because the love of God has been shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Spirit whom he has given us. My friends, the Lord is here this morning, and you can receive from him. If you will confess your sin. In the first service, I had a lady making this tremendous confession. I wanted to pray with her, and she was pouring out her heart. She goes, I just need to confess. She confessed and she confessed and she confessed, and pretty soon she had this breakthrough and she was rejoicing. And I was really thinking maybe if she would give her testimony, this would like really open the floodgates. She was so overwhelmed with the presence of God. She, in tears, she goes, I can't say anything. But she said, I've never felt such peace. My friends, if we will confess to God, if we will lay it out, we will receive the love, the grace, the peace, the forgiveness that only God can offer. Talk about healing. I believe that God is available. He is here. He is moving among us for healing. And you can pray for your loved ones. We can ask, seek, and knock. Ask and you will receive. Seek and you will find. Knock and it will be opened unto you. We're going to open these altars in just a minute, and as we sing, and I invite you to come. You can use the front pews, you can use this railing, you can use the front ledge, whatever. But if you do not leave this place without experiencing the grace and love of God in Christ. I had a privilege this week of me and a friend. Friend and I were out. We went to the mall and we were praying for people. I haven't done that for a long time, anything like that. But basically we were looking for any limpers. Yeah. If you're limpers, we're going to attack you. And so we were praying for them. And then we talked a little bit about the courage it takes to go up to someone and say, hey, God's like leading me to pray for people. Can I pray for you? And I said, no, that's the easy part. That's the human part. The challenge, the courage is, what if you pray and nothing happens? You know? And I think sometimes we're hesitant to come forward because we're thinking, well, if I go up there and make a fool of myself in front of everyone, or I go up and pray, what if nothing happens? Yeah? I'm telling you, the Lord is here. If you come forward and trust Him, He will in no wise cast you out. Something will happen. The Lord will forgive. The Lord will fill you with His love and grace. The Lord is here among us. Don't leave this place this morning without the grace of God in Jesus. Let's pray, shall we? Lord, thank You. Thank You for Your love for us in Jesus. I thank You, Lord, for Your great love for each of us in all the world. And Lord, today we need You like never before. And Lord, I pray for that one that needs to make a confession of sin. Or maybe just that, Lord, we've messed up and we want to start fresh. We need a new beginning today. I pray that we would experience that in Jesus' name. Amen. Yes.
Thanks for listening to this message from Oakland Church. For more information and for other resources, visit us at oaklandonline.org.